Anna and Raven show.
I don't know if I made a huge parent foul this weekend, actually yesterday, or if I should be congratulated on my innovation when it comes to parenting.
What are you talking about? Let's get clear here.
It's Anna and Raven. Yesterday, I went to a playground.
Oh, boy.
Yep. And I got to be honest, I haven't been going to a lot of playgrounds because of COVID and everything.
Yeah, they're like outlawed.
Right. So like, they're finally like open again and you can go. And my little
one. I had no idea.
Yeah. So Dakota is two. Well, she'll be two next month, I should say. And, you know, she's been in lockdown for 6 months like everybody else. So she doesn't even know what a playground is.
Right. She's never seen one before.
Right.
Just driving by.
Yeah.
What is that strange place
she's
full
like,
of plastic and a slide?
Why doesn't it have caution tape like all the other times we've driven by this place?
Right.
So this place has this massive, huge slide. And I'm so excited. And she's in her glory on this playground. And my older daughter, Hayden, who is 11, is taking her around to all the different things, the swings, and she's having the time of her life. Now, she gets to the top of the really big slide, and she is pumped.
Right. Ready to go.
But there's these four boys at the bottom, and there's always the kids that have to climb up the slide.
Yes. Yes, it's true.
And so I'm like, okay. So I give them a minute, and I see Hayden.
You try and let them clear out. You want to let them be boys.
Yeah. And then, you know, I'm looking around. I'm like, where's the parents? You know, I'm like,
okay, they don't care.
Where's the parents? Nowhere to be found.
Right.
So now the boys are, they will not come down. And they keep, and the thing is massive. It's like, I mean, I'm not exaggerating, 20 feet tall, the slide, if not even more. So I say, hey, boys, hi, guys, can you let the baby come down? She's waiting her turn.
Right.
She's waiting her turn.
Right. You try and be nice.
Now, I see my older daughter holding her back because she wants to go so bad. She's so excited, right?
Sure.
The boys start ignoring me. They're not paying any attention. And I know they're looking at me because they look over their shoulders and they're like looking at me. And right. I'm like, hey,
so
boys.
So they've made a conscious decision to defy you at this point is what you're saying, right?
Yeah. So I say to my husband, I go, can you go up there so you can help Hayden? Because, you know, Dakota's getting all restless, my little one.
And you figure the presence of a tall man going over there, these boys will then be afraid and be like, oh, wait, that short lady's with that tall guy.
There's a dad up there.
Right.
Let's get out of
the way.
We're going
to have to get out of the way at this point.
They refuse. Now they're climbing, and who can get tallest up there? And I'm at the bottom, and I'm looking around. And I'm like, where are these kids' parents?
Right.
You know? And nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
Paul gets to the top. I go, Paul, get Dakota. He grabs her. I go, Hayden. Take him out.
You sent her down the slide?
So my older daughter, Hayden, is a big 11-year-old, right?
Right.
And she gets, like, I see her get the momentum.
Are we guessing what age are these kids, these boys down there? Seven?
Seven.
Six, seven. Okay,
seven.
So clearly, so it's like bowling pins set up now
at this point. And she looks at me, and she's like, yeah, I go,
right. She knows
up,
it's
Hayden.
Wrong, but you give her the permission.
Right. And she goes down the slide. Full force,
right? And takes them out.
You see their eyes widening really wide, and they jumped off, from like way too high. They jumped off the slide to get out of the way, and then it wasn't a problem anymore. They stopped climbing up the slide, but I wasn't sure. And then afterwards, I saw the moms with them, and it was like two friend moms, so they must have just been so engrossed in talking to each other that they could care less if their kids were terrorizing the playground.
They don't care. Same thing. Caution tape is down, so it's on at that point.
Yeah, like let them go crazy. And I wanted to say something to them, but then I felt funny being like, hey, I sent my older daughter down like a bowling pin to take your kids out because they wouldn't listen and they were blatantly ignoring me.
You wanted to tell them that their kids were misbehaving and they were wrong, but then you did something that was borderline illegal.
Right.
Instructed your daughter to
illegal.
Do something. I mean, it sounds like Mad Max or the Road Warrior and you're trying to get down the highway with the juice and you're just willing to do whatever it takes to get things out of the way.
I mean, Dakota really wanted to go down that slide and she enjoyed when she did go. And I got to be honest, some kids got to learn the hard way, right?
Yeah, and you enjoyed that. That's the problem.
A little bit.
Doing the right thing can be really hard.
I'm a good person, yes, it's true. I'm a good person, better than you.
That's why it's time for Credit Due.
I'm a good person.
Anna and Raven.
What did you do over the weekend that you didn't get credit for? We're going to give you the credit you deserve right now. You can call 1-800-330-9999. Raven, what didn't you get credit for this weekend?
You know, I had a busy weekend where I was working all weekend, but yesterday I had to go to a baby shower, right? And I went to the baby shower, and, you know, the father is there, and it's like a potluck, right? So he starts putting out the food, and he seems a little bit confused. The sterno pans where you're going to heat things up are smaller than the pans that some of the stuff that's been brought. We're rearranging raging pants. My wife takes ownership of this, and that's great. She's helping out. But then she orders me to go put water in all the pants.
Yeah.
I'm at a public space. I had to go to a restroom. I had to clear the entire area, mm-hmm. clean that all up, and take care of it. After, no applause, Anna Zapp.
No.
Nobody bowed down and said, wow, man, that was fantastic. This casserole is nice and warm. Good job.
Let's give you some credit right now.
Thank you.
When you have to carry that tray and that water is sloshing back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
All over the front of your shirt.
And you don't
buy you had an accident.
And it's not the best quality pans when it's just there for sterno, right?
Right.
So, you know, it's flimsy. So
very
it's,
flimsy.
Then I got to support the bottom and everything. Yeah.
It's like you're carrying the ocean in your hands and no one even said thank you.
It's a lot. Nobody thanked me.
Yeah. You know what I didn't get credit for this weekend?
What's that? What'd you do?
Everyone always complains in my house, my children and my husband, that they don't have toothpaste. Now, I come from a household where everybody has to have their own toothpaste. Different kinds because they're that spoiled.
Okay.
And they always push from the middle. Now, I've told them several times, please, guys, if you just push from the bottom and push up, there'll be more toothpaste. Don't say there's no more toothpaste. You just have to really push from the bottom. So I took it upon myself to go individually to everybody's toothpaste.
And did you roll it?
And I rolled them up.
Oh, man.
And like, I thought they would be like, hey, Ma.
Wow, great effort. Good job. Who did this for me?
Wife. Wow, this was great. This was really nice of you for pushing all the toothpaste up so I have at least another 4 days worth.
You really are anal, huh? You had to do everybody's.
Everybody.
But nobody thanked you.
No one.
Ah, that is upsetting, truly.
Nobody even cared if they had more toothpaste. Waking up on a Monday, they're going to look at that tube and be like, look at all the toothpaste I have. Thank goodness mommy rolled it up at the bottom.
A plethora of toothpaste.
1-800-330-9999. What didn't you get credit for this weekend? We'll give you the credit due. Hi, it's Yen on Raven.
Yesterday, I spent the entire day going to tag sales, six or seven of them, trying to find a playhouse for my toddler. That's like all she wants. She's been talking about it forever. Finally found one in great condition, really cute. I think that I would have had so much fun on it when I was a kid. So excited to bring it home, and I take it out of the car, and she just looks at it and goes, it's not big enough.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah, you spent all day, but you know
what? Square footage is important.
Especially when it comes to playhouses, yeah. Right. Let's give you the credit right now.
Thank you so much.
She went to like seven locations to find that playhouse.
Yeah.
She did everything.
A lot of hand sanitizer. Oh, then you got to bring it home, then you got to clean it, you know, all that stuff.
And her daughter said, nope, mommy, try again.
You know, sometimes that's how it works, though, right? They reject it right there that second that it happens.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, they don't hide their feelings, that's for sure, children. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What didn't you get credit for this weekend?
Hey, guys. I went pumpkin picking with my kids, and they were out of the cart to wheel the pumpkins around. And, you know, I had to sit at the picnic table by myself while everyone else went around looking for their pumpkins, guard all the pumpkins. Like, they don't look exactly the same. And no one person said, hey, thanks, Mom, for guarding my pumpkin. Just sat on the picnic table all day where everyone else went and looked for pumpkins.
Somebody has to guard those pumpkins.
Yeah, I mean, I got to be honest. That would be the job I'd be hoping for. But
you know what? We're going to give you the credit you deserve right now.
Absolutely. She thought she'd be out there frolicking in an autumn meadow.
Right.
Taking photos.
She wore her flannel shirt and her boots and her scarf.
Right.
She knew, like, she was going to take these beautiful pictures. But instead, she had to guard pumpkins.
And you know what? Nobody's butt feels good after a few hours on a picnic table.
No.
I don't care who you are. I don't know. At my age, I can't stand it.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people that wants to carry a pillow at this point.
Hi, it's Hannah and Raven. What didn't you get credit for this weekend?
You know what? I've been at my dad's all weekend cleaning the house. My dad just had a stroke. Coming home from rehab on Thursday, and I've been here cleaning and getting his house all ready for him. By myself, with nobody.
And nobody has said,
hey. I didn't get credit for that, so all good.
Oh, we're going to give you the credit you deserve. And you can tell everybody
this is your song. She's been there since Thursday, Raven.
It's rough, man.
She's been there all weekend.
No, he's
long.
Coming home Thursday. She's been there since Thursday.
Yeah.
It's like a 4-day operation.
She's just there helping out. Where are her siblings? Nowhere, because she's the kid that's got to take care of everything.
Right.
Oh, I think a lot of people can relate to that. All right, 1-800-330-9999. You could always call. What didn't you get credit for this weekend? We'll give it to you.
That's all I need to know about 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 you. It's Anna and Raven. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Raven, if you're so proud of your scary Halloween decorations in front of your home, that you hide under the windows
to watch people's reactions.
Yeah.
That, no, that's a thing.
That's all I need to know about
you. It's not even Halloween yet, though. Like, I mean, you watch that on Halloween. Like, is that what you're doing?
So my front yard, I have transformed into, it's all dolls that look possessed. Yeah. I have 17 scary dolls in my
walking
front yard.
Across the ivy.
Yeah.
Right.
And I have a haunted dollhouse. And it says Sweet Dreams on it.
Oh, nice.
And then Susie Slaughter, that's what my daughter named her, is the big doll.
Susie Slaughter.
Holding a knife.
Yes.
Right? And it says Susie's Dollhouse.
Yeah.
And all my dolls have been hand-painted by me and my daughter to look possessed.
Okay.
And I got to tell you, we've outdone ourselves this year.
I mean, you're proud, which is good, but... admittedly, you're still the worst on the street.
Well, it's different. So here's the thing.
Because you have neighbors with elaborate displays.
So our neighbors are, like, everybody, like, we have a couple neighbors that it's head-to-head. We have one of those streets that it's a Halloween street. Everybody drops their kids off.
Right.
Who knows it'll happen this year, but normally. But they're, like, classic. Like, they're, like, really done well. Like,
there's
like,
props.
Carpenters, there's... like, that they're built. Like, they're beautiful, like, displays. So, you know, it's just me and my 11-year-old. My husband wants no part of this.
Are your neighbors physically building them themselves, or they bring people in?
No. They physically build them themselves.
Okay, that's good.
They're so much more talented than I am.
Well, they've just really had more practice.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, for me, handmade. So, theirs are beautiful,
sure.
You know? But ours... are straight creepy.
You feel like they're creepy enough. Creepy. So what do you do?
So we hide and we watch the cars at night because we have them all projected with lights, like focus points on
them.
Sure. And my daughter, the other night on Saturday night, she goes, "That little girl's hiding in the back seat. She's hiding." And we're like cheering and
so proud.
We're so proud.
Somebody
of ourselves.
Handing out nightmares to people in your neighborhood now, and you couldn't be happier.
Sweet dreams. You look at all these creepy dolls, and as my daughter says, they stare right into your soul.
Right. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
That's all I need to know about you. It's the little things that bring me joy this time of year.
If you only clean your car when it rains, if that's the only time that your windshield and the rest of the vehicle gets clean, that's all I need to know about you. You know what I've realized, too, is I don't even use the windshield wipers. And I think it comes from the fact that windshield wipers on my car typically are in rough shape.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can never replace your windshield wipers often enough that they work fantastic.
Right.
They only work great for that day or two after you buy them. So instead of just dealing with the streaks and the bugs that I just allow to cake on there on the windshield, I just ignore it. And then I just drive down the road when the rain is on, and I don't even turn them on then because then it just streaks more.
Okay.
I just believe, like, it just runs off, like Rain-X or whatever, you know?
I'm one of those people, too, though. My husband is really into going to the car wash. He actually is the best. He surprises me, and he takes my car sometimes.
That's nice.
I get into a, like, clean car, and I think it's, like, magic. I'm like,
right.
Santa Claus came!
Well, it's new.
Yeah.
right. The mystery of how it appeared that way.
Yeah, but I'm one of those people, too. I'm like, let the rain clean it. It'll be just fine.
That's the only bath it gets, actually.
Yep. What's something that shouldn't bother you, but it makes you strangely sad?
Oh, man.
1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven.
Give me an example.
This weekend, my almost 2-year-old Dakota, she'll be 2 next month, she's been trying to jump for months.
Okay.
Like, she watches her big sister, and then she goes and she tries so hard.
She squats her body.
She squats.
Gets ready to launch out of it like the coyote out of his spring, but it doesn't work.
No, and then it's like 1 foot off.
Okay.
But the other one stays down. And you can see her frustration because she's like, why won't this other foot come off the ground?
Sadness sets in at that point then. I understand. Right.
So, of course.
She was the girl who could not jump.
She couldn't jump. But then she did it. And this is what it sounded like because I got it on video.
Oh, man.
Come on, Dakota. You can do it. Jump. 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 Jump.
Jump.
Jump.
Jump.
Jump. Jump. Yay. Woo! You big girl. Oh.
So, I don't know if you realize that.
Wait a minute. So, what happened after?
I was so excited.
Yeah.
But then you hear me say this.
Oh.
And then you know what I realized?
What's that?
Sure, we're celebrating the fact that both her feet got up the ground.
Yeah.
But she's my youngest. Like, that'll be the last time.
Oh, my gosh. Are we really doing this?
I mean,
this is what you came in here to talk to me about?
5 minutes ago, I was sitting in this seat and I was pregnant. And now I have an almost 2-year-old.
You'll never see your own baby jump again for the first time.
And now she's jumping.
Oh, man.
And I felt so sad because I was like, this parenthood goes by so fast. And I don't have a baby anymore.
Oh,
I have
man.
A toddler that can jump. Yeah. And I'm never going to have a baby again.
You'll have to borrow babies if you want another baby again. That's what'll happen.
No.
Yes. You have to just borrow them.
And I know I should be happy that she's getting big.
That she can jump.
She's independent. She can jump all by herself with 2 feet off the ground like a spring. But instead, I got so oddly sad.
So this is
sad.
Something that you're supposed to be happy about, and then you ended up sad.
I was sad about it. Yeah. I was just like this.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Yeah, right. Oh. That's it. Right. I mean, give yourself a moment to revel in the happiness for a moment before you immediately just, you know, take it down.
I don't know, everyone says, like, it goes by so fast, but, like, it really does.
Of course it does.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. What makes you strangely sad, even though it shouldn't bother you at all?
Karaoke.
Why?
Listen, people are out, they're singing, they're enjoying themselves, they get to, you know, let that part of themselves out that, you know, is normally contained, right, and sing. But unless they're lights out, I gotta be honest with you, I'm always a little bit sad inside. I'm just, maybe it's because I'm desensitized, you know, I've been doing this a long time, I've been in, you know, this business for a long time, I've seen too many things, but cover bands, it makes me sad.
I know why, because you get deep, because you know that they had big dreams to make it.
Well, maybe that's it.
I've
got a friend that I've known for 30 years, and he just told me his band's debuting at his thing opening up, and immediately I was like, oh, I did the same thing as you.
Right?
I did the same thing. I was like, I can't wait to be there, man. It's going to be great. But inside, I was more like...
You were like, wait, hold on, you like this.
You weren't ready.
Oh. Yeah.
That's how it felt.
Oh, because you knew his dreams would never come true.
Oh, man.
1-800.
When you say it that way.
What's something that shouldn't bother you, even maybe make you happy, but for some reason it makes you strangely sad? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. My daughter, Dakota, the little one, she'll be 2 next month. She can't jump. She's just not ready. Her body.
She could not jump.
And then this weekend, this happened.
Come on, Dakota. You can do it. Jump. 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 Yay. You big girl. Oh.
And then you got sad.
And then I got sad. All of a sudden, you hear this. I'm watching the video because I got it on camera.
Oh.
And it made me so sad because I'm like, but my baby isn't a baby anymore. She's a big girl, and that's going to be the last time I have a baby, and I don't have a baby. Now I have a toddler.
Stop putting all that sadness on me.
Oh, my God.
Karaoke makes me sad because I know that people have fallen dreams.
Yeah.
That's made me sad.
We asked on our Facebook page, what's something that you shouldn't bother you, but what makes you strangely sad?
Yeah.
Joy wrote the Disney movie Fox and the Hound.
Oh.
I just couldn't understand why they couldn't be friends as a kid.
Listen. That story was the most pivotal story of my childhood for Disney movies.
Yeah.
And it is heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking several times. Why couldn't they just be friends,
number one?
Why does Buddy have to die?
I don't know.
I understand his anger.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. I was really upset, man.
Yeah. Alex wrote New Year's. That's true. New Year's, like,
never lives up.
Never lives up
never
to the hype.
Never lives up.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I've had like one or two New Year's Eves in my life that were like outstanding.
Yeah.
And the rest, forget it.
It's true. I actually have like the day after, like New Year's Day.
Yeah.
I'm always sad that I feel like it was so much hype and then it didn't live up to it.
You put so much into it, man. Money, planning, all that. And it never does it. That's why when somebody's like, we should do something cool for New Year's, I don't want to do it.
Alec tweeted at us, thrift stores, you can find some things in there that are so sad. I went in there once and there was a wedding dress. Someone just wanted to give it away.
Well,
aww.
You know, time passes, right?
Oh,
things happen.
1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's something that shouldn't bother you, but it makes you strangely sad?
Whenever I see elderly people sitting on the front porch by themselves, I like to start to cry.
What?
Why? Because they're. Do you think they're gonna die?
That's where they're enjoying. What?
Why would they
enjoying their bistro set? What do you want? She wants to cry, and you want to kill them?
No,
what's wrong with you?
Why?
There's something about them just sitting there alone,
right?
that makes me think, like, they probably don't really have friends or family left.
Oh.
And, you know, especially, like, these women, like, almost always they outlive their husbands. So it's, like, probably their partner is gone. Their friends are all gone.
Oh,
and
they're waiting for their spouses to come home from work.
You guys are terrible.
This is awful.
Or maybe they're grandkids that just outgrew them now at this point. They're, like, 16, 17, and they're too cool for grandma and grandpa at that point.
Oh, my God, you're right. It is heartbreaking.
You guys are terrible. Maybe they're out there enjoying themselves like, stay off my lawn. Like, I can't stand any of you people. Could be that.
I'm just going to be pulling into people's driveways being like, hey.
Do you want to visit?
Do you want me to come sit next to you?
That's terrible.
I'll go get us some tea. Hey, it's Anna and Raven. What's a normal thing that makes you strangely sad?
Well, whenever a dog dies on TV or in a movie, I mean, I know it's fake, but I just can't take it. I mean, I cry. I'm weeping. I'm just like balls and balls of tears. My girlfriend makes so much fun of me, but I just can't help it. It gets to me.
No, I'm with you.
What?
I'm with you. I never want to see a pet lose it on a show.
Yeah, but you cry? Like, you physically cry?
Well, I mean, I don't weep, but...
He does. You weep when you see animals pass away that you know is pretend?
Full out weeping, yeah.
I mean, I could understand if it was your dog. I mean, I could understand if it was your pet.
You got to avert your eyes, sir. You know, they don't put a lot of that on TV, but they put some of it on TV.
You ever hear the trick with the freezer and the onion?
No, I haven't.
So when your eyes start tearing up and crying, like from cutting the onions, you open the freezer door. Actually, my good friend Chef Plum from the Food Network taught me this. If you open the freezer door and you put your head in, it immediately stops it. It works. I've tried it several times.
That sounds like witchcraft.
But you should also do that whenever you watch sad movies like Marley and Me.
Now I feel so sad for Chef Plum. Like, he's just walking around crying all the time.
He's got to put his head in the freezer.
How many cooking shows did he need to cry on?
I know.
I'm so sorry.
Right. Always a bridesmaid, never a bride on that Bobby Flay iron hat. What's it called? Iron Chef Challenge?
Iron Chef.
Yeah.
Iron Skillet. Just put my face in the freezer.
Yep.
Terrible.
Trending this weekend. If you could find out what song was number one on your 12th birthday, that's your life's theme song, which I thought was really interesting and fascinating. And of course, I wanted to see if it was accurate. It's Anna and Raven. So I looked up mine, and this was the number one song on my 12th birthday.
I mean, certainly one that you enjoy.
I do love Boys to Men.
Certainly a song that we well documented. We love the Boys to Men stuff.
Right, but the question is my life theme song is End of the Road?
It feels a little bit, you know,
ominous,
feels a little,
right?
A little dismal.
Yeah.
Right? A little upsetting. Doesn't feel normal. Right.
What is your number one song from the day you were born, your 12th birthday?
I was surprised I looked it up, but here it is, George Michael, Faith.
I gotta have faith. I gotta have faith.
This is a better one.
I mean, it's a better song. It's more uplifting.
Yeah.
But it's definitely still not something that feels like my theme song of my life.
Well, you got to have faith. You got to keep believing
thanks.
And moving forward.
Yes, no, yes. I understood what he said.
He says it right there.
Yeah, thank you. No, I heard George Michael say it. I did. But
yeah.
It still doesn't feel like mine.
No.
That's all I'm saying.
I know the road didn't feel so accurate for me either.
Right. It's a little bit sad.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. When's your birthday?
February 21st. 1958.
So 1958.
70.
1978 or 1950?
1970, if you're looking for 12 years.
Okay, so...
She's so bad at math.
70. I got it.
She's so bad.
I know. I'm 62.
Sly and the Family Stone, Everybody is a Star. Do you know that song?
No, not really.
Oh, well, that's your life theme song.
Right.
Tis the sun that loves you bright. System tries to bring you down.
Anna and Raven, what's your birthday?
March 13th.
March 13th, what year?
Wow.
61.
So 73.
That's also my daughter's birthday and my wedding anniversary.
13th.
So which way am I?
Day.
Nice, 73. You said 61, right? 61.
Yeah, so 73.
61, yes.
The number one song on your birthday was, it was Fugees, Killing Me Softly with his song. No, this wasn't the Fugees. This is the original.
No, Killing Me Softly, Roberta Flack.
Right. That's
what I'm guessing.
That's the difference, probably.
Yeah.
That's my generation.
The Fugees.
Do you find that song to be accurate to your life theme song, Killing Me Softly with his song?
I don't know.
It's a little alluring.
I don't
you didn't
think
expect
so.
That, huh? Right.
Yeah.
I don't know if this theory holds water.
I don't think so. 0 for 2.
Drumming my pain with his fingers.
Here's the thing about that version, too. You could run it at 2x speed, and it still sounds slower than Fuji's.
Right. No, 100%. You know what we've learned today?
What?
That this trend over the weekend was made up by, like, literally a 12-year-old in his basement. It's not accurate.
We were fooled by the internet.
Yeah. The People's Court with Judge Marilyn Million. She's been on that bench for 20 years. And for the first time ever, she's going to be doing it virtually. It's Anna and Raven. And this time, she's teamed up with her husband, Judge John Schlesinger, to help her out with the verdicts. What is it like to work with your husband after you've been married for 27 years? Because I'm not sure my husband and I would survive that.
Okay, let me point out at the outset that Marilyn made me dress up really well for this interview. I said, well, where does the screen light up? When do we get on there? She has its radio.
It was a chance to get him out of his pajamas.
I kept sick of me walking around the house in these ragged shorts and a t-shirt with holes in it. So, but it's great. Are you kidding me? We're together all the time, 30 plus years. She was a prosecutor for a big chunk of her career and then a judge for the rest, and so was I. So we kind of speak the same language when it comes to legal issues. It's turned out to be really a blessing, a lot of fun.
So Judge Million, you preside over the case, but then afterwards you have an after-the-verdict conference after on how it went. How does it work?
Exactly like you just said, but it's not really a conference. It's more of a commentary on either the thought process or the witnesses or why this worked or why the other thing didn't work or him criticizing my verdict or, you know, or something like that. It doesn't happen that often because we really do think alike for years, but the reason for the ruling and the law.
In my relationship, I might pass a verdict, but then after, all I hear is my wife's thoughts about it for the end of time. It basically goes on forever.
It's just an automatic appellate reversal you, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah, it's a little like that here. I mean, it sounds like you have the same relationship I have with Marilyn, significant other, because I don't know why I keep arguing with her about stuff, but I just keep thinking someday I'm going to win one. It's going to happen. So
good luck with that.
Just keep hanging in there.
You've turned your living room into a courtroom. So it's like you never leave your house. Your work is now home. How's that working
out?
That's
a little creepy, but you know what we've done, which is kind of cool, because now, because everything is so condensed, it's 12-hour days, 1 week out of the month. The other 3 weeks, we're trying to travel a little more, and we just became empty nesters. So we've driven to D.C., where our three daughters are, twice already, since we dropped them off, like, a month and a half ago. So him retiring, us working at home, and becoming empty nesters, we got a lot of time on our hands for travel other stuff. So we're anchored by the dog only, you know.
You guys must really love each other. Empty nesters, being together all the time during a pandemic, and now having to work together for 12 hours a day at home. I mean, for me, that sounds like my biggest nightmare.
I know.
Sometimes it is.
And I was a little bit scared, but it's not. It's, you know, it's just not. I don't know. The thing that's oppressive to me is not moving from your house. You know, your work taking over. I don't have a living room anymore. The dog has,
that's true.
How shall we say this? The dog has made her objections known.
Oh, boy.
On the studio floor, repeatedly.
Oh,
we went and we actually put up a couple little gates.
Judge Marilyn, do you let Judge John do your hair and makeup?
No, but you know what? When COVID first happened, and my roots at that point were about 2 inches, went to the grocery store, I bought off the shelf, and he dyed my hair. And he did such a good job, we posted it.
Nice. Wow. Nice. Wow.
So you can see it on our website.
Yeah.
But that's something to fall back on if the law doesn't work out. We have my makeup artist, you know, on my iPad at X hour, and then she literally tells us, pick up this and do that. And that's how we get our makeup done.
You'll be able to check out After the Verdict on the 20th year of the People's Court. 20 years on the bench,
wow.
Judge Marilyn Million. That is incredible.
Really impressive.
And all this week here, Judge Marilyn Million and Judge John Schlesinger's verdict on our Couples Court. That's coming up next with Anna and Raven. Every weekday morning, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Jessica and Andrew. Jessica, let's start with you. What's going on?
So Andrew and I are going through a breakup. We were together for 2 years, and then we moved in together, signed a lease, and we are definitely breaking up, and I think that he should move out. I have a friend that's already ready to move in, and he doesn't want to move out. He wants to, stay for the rest of the 6 months that we have this lease for.
Andrew, is that true?
Yeah, I mean, we're both sharing this lease. We only have 6 months left. I think we should just be civil and, deal with it until the end, and then, one of us can move out. It's not fair to kick me out.
Are you both signed as leasees, and did you both put in for the security deposit?
Yeah, we did, but he can get his security deposit back when my friend moves in.
Is the landlord going to give him the money back, or is your friend just going to pay him the security deposit?
My friend's just going to pay him the security deposit. Like, he's not going to be out any money. He just doesn't want to move out. And I think it's weird for us to have to live together for the next 6 months. It's super awkward.
Andrew, why do you want to live with your ex-girlfriend for the next 6 months?
I'm just saying it's unfair to kick me out, especially when she's the one who wants to break up. I'm thinking we need to be civil adults here and just, it's not fair to just kick me out last minute just because she feels uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, the rents are up right now, as a matter of fact, aren't they? Or are they down? I can't tell.
Either way,
yeah, I get it. I mean, it's inconvenient to have to move. On the other hand, I'm the type, Anna, when it's over, I'll see you later.
Right. But I'm also the kind that doesn't like to move, so I could understand. We're like, let's just stay in our rooms. stay on the couch.
And it's not fair for one to feel like a loser.
Right. This is a tough one, but why don't we ask our audience what they think? And maybe they may agree with you, Jessica. Well, you guys find the place together?
Actually, I was the one that found it first. I mean, we were looking together, but I was the one that found the place.
All right, but I mean, I guess finding something on Craigslist or going on, Realtor.com isn't the same thing. You guys are both on the lease. You split the security deposit, and you both pay the rent equally?
Yeah, we do. And the thing is, too, is that he makes more money at his job. He doesn't have anyone that can move in. Like, I make less money. I have somebody that's willing to move in. It just makes more sense for him to get out.
Well, we can ask our audience what they think. And they may disagree with
you,
Jessica.
We're in the middle of a pandemic here.
Right.
Yeah.
Makes it difficult. And Jessica doesn't get to make that decision for you because she's your ex.
So what we do is see what our audience thinks. And maybe they do agree with you, Andrew, that it's not fair. You both sign your name on the lease. Why should you be the one that has to leave? Especially if that's true, Jessica, that you're the one that wants to break up. But they may see your side too. Jessica's uncomfortable to finish a 6-month lease with your ex-boyfriend living, and you already have someone that's willing to step in to take his spot. Do you both agree to listen what our audience has to say?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Great. Call or text 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Jessica and Andrew have been dating for a couple years, and they share a home together. Here's the problem. Jessica is breaking up with him and would like Andrew to move out. He says, we only have 6 months left on this lease. Both our names are on it. Let me just finish it out. She's not on board and wants her roommate to move in.
I mean, it's a pretty good deal for him. He would get his security deposit back right now. At the same time, he doesn't want to be looking for new lodging in the middle of a pandemic. He says, let's just get along. It's 6 months. We're adults.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court, Anna and Raven.
I'm on his side because she's the one that decided that they wanted to break up. So she should move out. She should have had a plan.
I tend to agree with you, right? I mean, she already had a plan. That's the thing. She made a plan without discussing him. She made a plan to break up with him. And clearly she made a plan with somebody else that she works with to move in. And she never gave him the heads up. And that's just cold.
Yeah, but
she should get out.
Yeah, but we're vilifying her. If you're in a relationship and you're not happy, you're supposed to stay in it because you have 6 months left on a lease?
You're supposed to discuss it like an adult before you spring a trap on him and say, listen, I've got a friend ready to move in tomorrow.
Mm.
That's what you're supposed to do.
And on Raven, whose side are you on this morning?
I'm on his side. Why don't and her girlfriend get a new apartment?
Right? I mean, they came up with this wonderful plan. Start packing boxes.
Mm.
I would not want to live with my ex.
Right. I don't think anybody would. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on this morning?
I'm on his side. If she was responsible for the breakup, she should move out.
Yeah, I think that it's pretty shallow of her. It's pretty selfish, really. She's just like, I've made a decision to move on. She's got a friend or whoever moving in. She has no regard for this person that she had an invested relationship with before. She doesn't care. It's on him to deal with now.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Andrew, our audience agreed with you. Jessica, it's not fair just to kick him out. He has every right to be there just as much as you do. Is it uncomfortable? Yes. Did you make a wrong decision by signing a lease with somebody and then breaking up? Probably. But at the end of the day, you can't just kick them out because you have a friend that wants to move in.
Thank you.
Okay. I guess it's just going to be awkward for 6 months, Andrew.
Well, it doesn't have to be awkward.
Right. You can probably make some adjustments. But what we will do, and we're doing all this week, Judge Marilyn Million from the People's Court will be joining us coming up after Can't Beat Raven at about 8:25. And we'll see what she has to say about this. Coming up with Anna and Raven. All this week, Judge Marilyn Million and her husband, Judge John Schlesinger from the People's Court, will be joining us to give their verdict on the Couples Court. It's Anna and Raven. So they were dating for 2 years and they moved in together last year. Here's the thing. They're both on the lease, but she wants him to move out so one of her friends can move in. and he is not down with that. He says he wants to stay to the end of the lease and they can just be civil to each other. What do you think about this? Do you think that he has to leave?
No, he absolutely doesn't have to leave. See, there's two different agreements going on. One is the one that's in writing that's a lease with the landlord where they both have equal right to the place. The other one is the one that they make among themselves. Hey, we're going to live together for a year. She wants to move on. But she doesn't get to make him move on.
Right. It kind of feels like she's forcing his hand so that she can move to that next part of her life. Who knows what that entails or doesn't. But at the same time, you know, he might be pining for a reconciliation. So that's what makes it a little bit sticky.
And creepy.
My take on it would be, hey, the one who has the financial means or the angle for another place that's right at hand, close by, should be the one who steps down and says, hey, I'm going to take off, whether it's him or her. And as long as you're not sleeping on a park bench, which I actually have spent the night on a park bench, it's really uncomfortable.
Right.
And if you don't have to do that, at the risk of sounding like a knuckle-dragging patriarchal troglodyte, I have in the back of my mind this voice always telling me, hey, if somebody's got to spend the night on a park bench, probably shouldn't be my ex-girlfriend.
Who knew that Judge right. Marilyn Million is set
would be the one saying,
like, go sleep on the park, right, not even the couch,
right?
The park bench.
No.
Well,
they live
in Florida. It's warm down there. It's a warmer climate.
Thank God it was 40 years ago. But.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing is that obviously with them both having rights to the place, one person can attempt to make it so miserable for the other to go. And I think that, you know,
right.
like you said, Judge, you're talking about just, you know, taking the higher road and getting yourself out of the equation before it gets more difficult. If the most difficult part of your breakup, separation, and leaving the apartment is sleeping on a park bench for a night, you could live with that, I think.
You might be right.
We can live with that.
Right. It sounds like he has lived with that at some point.
Judge Marilyn Million and her husband, Judge John Schlesinger from the People's Court, they'll be joining us all week giving their verdict on the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
It's Jeff.
Jeff, you're up. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure. Good luck, Jeff.
Did I hear people screaming in the background?
My son is excited.
All right, Jeff, here's how it works. We've got $1,300 on the line. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring Raven back in and ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, goes to Raven. You ready to play?
We're ready.
Number one, Mindy Kaling surprised Late Show viewers by sharing that she welcomed her second child in early September. She kept her pregnancy a secret throughout the entire pandemic. On what show did Mindy Kaling play Kelly Kapoor?
The Office.
Number two, Sienna Miller said that Chadwick Boseman helped cover her salary for the movie 21 Bridges when he learned that she would make less money than him. What Marvel superhero did Boseman play on the big screen?
Black Panther.
Number three, Disney's making a movie based on the ride Space Mountain. In what Disney World park will you find Space Mountain in Orlando?
Magic Kingdom.
Number four, the Daily Meal released its list of 101 best burger places in America. Number three is Peter Luger's in Brooklyn. Number two is White Manna in Hackensack. And number one went to Ah Cheval in Chicago. Where is the home of the Whopper?
Burger King.
And number five, the Lakers won the NBA championship. They dedicated their win to Kobe Bryant. How many championships did Kobe win?
Six.
Close, Jeff. Let me bring Raven back in. Come on, Raven. Jeff got 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5 is pretty good.
Yep.
See how I do.
Number one, Mindy Kaling surprised Late Show viewers by sharing that she welcomed her second child in early September. She kept her pregnancy a secret throughout the entire pandemic. On what show did Mindy Kaling play Kelly Kapoor?
The Office, of course.
That's right. Number two, Sienna Miller said Chadwick Boseman helped cover her salary for the movie 21 Bridges when he learned that she would make less money than him. What Marvel superhero did Boseman play on the big screen?
Black Panther.
Of course. Come yep. on. Iconic. Number three, Disney's making a movie based on the ride Space Mountain. In which Disney World park will you find Space Mountain in Orlando?
Disney Park.
Nope. Magic Kingdom, and I knew you wouldn't know that.
I mean, it seems like it's all under Disney to me.
Nope. Number four, the Daily Mail released its list of 101 best burger places in America. Number three is Peter Luger's in Brooklyn. Number two is White Manna in Hackensack. Okay. And number one went to Oshawa in Chicago. Where is the home of the Whopper?
Burger King.
That is correct. You need this last one to tie. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, Jeff is going to be $1,300 richer this Monday morning. You ready? The Lakers won the NBA championship. They dedicated their win to Kobe Bryant. How many championships did Kobe have?
Kobe Bryant had 5 championships.
Oh, you're right.
Well, sorry.
Sorry, Jeff. You guys tied at 4. That gets you an Anna and Raven t-shirt. Oh, I thought I had you on that last one.
Michael has 6. Bill has 10. Kobe has 5.
It's Jeff, and I can't be Raven today.
Well, keep trying, Jeff. Thank you.
It's a heartbreaker, man. Better luck next time. $1,300, $1,400 tomorrow.
That's right. And if you want your chance at that $1,400, make sure you're listening at noon and 5:30 today for the cheat sheet. I'll give you the first 2 answers to tomorrow's 5 pop culture questions.